Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is a recording as I walk to get a blood test, and I just review various things as I walk along about the quality of podcasting. Now, I've just learned a little lesson just then that I get the best quality if I just set the pre-record scenes on my dictaphone to dictation. So by far that's the best. Everything else I fiddle around with picks up noise. Not when you set it, but when you start to walk and move about it. So on this, I'm walking with some fairly heavy braille books, a couple of kilometres, get medicine and a blood test. And you'll hear the noise of the Great Western Highway as I walk along the place. Now, of course, my main challenge now is to get to a new level of fitness and to lose a few kilos. And I was quite disciplined until this weekend. I had with the family take away Turkish, which I enjoyed. We had a Turkish banquet one night, and there was more than enough lunch the next day for the whole, what is it? Well, five. It was a meal ordered for four people, and close on 10 people ate it. It gives you the idea of the sort of volumes involved in this. But nonetheless, the effect of that, plus a lime milkshake, which I sort of succumbed to, sort of packed on a whole extra kilo. So weeks of work to knock 1 kilo off, and then instantly the kilo comes back. So it's really rather good, because you just measure yourself up and you get the discipline. But nonetheless, I've been going through a patch of stumbling and learning things. So it's hard to say. You sort of look at courses and you sort of realise that the course is not as good as actually going out there and trying, or focusing on the key point. There's a few courses that I'm looking at doing it. It's really rather hard to get into teaching courses, because they're all cost some money, or if they don't cost some money, they're really hidden, really rather complex to get to. So, and then there's Courseria, which you think you can go to. It's sort of, what is the motivation for it? So I think I'll have to do some of those courses there. But that being said, a lot of the stuff you find out is not given by courses. And so a case in point is one of the things I have to do to memory stuff is to recount a situation. And so what I tend to do is I take a stream of photographs and put up a YouTube. Now, it's taken a while to improve on what's going on, but the key, what I used to do, is take a series of slides, then make a photo album up, and then record the PowerPoint, and then play the PowerPoint, record it onto Camtasia. And this would be a very long and involved process. Now, some of the advantages now is that there's sort of two links to improving that. So we're talking about podimation, or the process of podcasting, and this is vodcasting with photographs, and the series of things that you can do, sort of trips of people you know rather well. So it turns out that itself has a fairly decent record program, and sort of taking across the some of the skills in terms of knowing the microphone, how to set up like that, and the general narration skills. This is up there. This is very noisy. Now you'll hear an Australian set of traffic lights. They beep as they go through. So I don't know if you can hear me against all this massive trucks and things. This is a huge truck carrying barbecue cars across. Yeah, so with your camera, go out and photograph a sequence of things. For this time, I did a bit of the home lab, and then a sequence through an art gallery, and then a sequence through a science museum. Some photographs, some films, and so for the photographs, you just so the PowerPoint. I want you to make up a photo gallery from this. Oh God, from this section. Oh. There's a free U2 concert at the local Bolo on the 16th of March. I wonder where that is. Okay, so I'm just walking past and walking up to our mate. Just have a look at how it goes here. Oh, it's still a bit of a walk here. Sorry for that. So you get your digital camera, take a few photographs, a few films. And then open your PowerPoint, you dump the whole load of photographs to situations, and then you go through and you import your films, your videos, and then record slideshow. Unfortunately, I haven't put any transitions in it, so it's probably a little bit more boring. And then save to small format video and then upload. As simple as that. So I've made a bit of a hash of it before, but it's in terms of video stuff, YouTube, these are complete dead in the water things. Two or three people see them, they're recorded there. Two or three, four, well, probably 10. Probably 15. Well, last time there's a bit, and they sit there, and they're not obeying any of the rules of putting YouTubes together, which is a theme. What the student gets a beginning, middle, end. This is just a ramble on it. YouTube. It's something that people will click and flip off very quickly. So I've had a few successful YouTubes. But the main thing is to keep on experimenting, try a lot, fail a lot, and learn a little. So from the overall concept of doing that through a very much ham-fisted way of actually getting a screen recorder, to do it, and so the Microsoft rendering of the YouTube is just much faster than rendering it through Camtasia. Then Camtasia uploads it for you, but it's it's like you try heaps and heaps of things and they fail for multiple reasons, and you get a smorgasbord of reasons, you get a real feedback about which you can actually go. So why I'm puffing at the moment is there's a hill up to Hare Street. I'm carrying backpacks and I've got to really get my heart fitness up, which is going to look like it's miles away from having the ischemia, the heart attack things in the valve. I'm just tripping it. I'm winning it. So previously I wasn't able to go up a hill, or if I did, it'd be a little debilitating pain as I went, and I had to struggle through. It could be this or this, or it could be psychosomatic. What do you think? Psychosomatic, you're mad in the head. Oh, snatch fate. Right close to my wife's yoga. She's at the moment. A bit embarrassing for me. On the outside. Oh. Whew. Okay, so, that's squared away. Let me quiet with shoes. You can really hear what she's saying. I'm just walking past the yoga class. I think I'm safe. Okay. So, that's video presentation. So, it means there are various things I'm improving on. One is, the real complex presentation of why the Einstein to Haas, and you know what's good and what's simple and what's not, and in a sense that your video editing is really a scratch paper. This is really producing video, which is crap. Is sort of like writing out notes to yourself, and except it's hard to say if you do it inefficiently, inefficiently squared. If it takes you a long time to do something stupid, it's doubly. So what I've been doing is I'm reducing the amount of times to do something stupid and inadequate. But in that, I've learnt that. By making mistakes, as I say, going out and making heaps of mistakes, on the camera, and Cam stays here, it's too much data. It's a gigabyte of data to do a quarter of an hour's work. I suppose that's roughly, it's a, more than a megabyte a minute. I hate to think how much it is. So its actual fact turns out to be better to do it on your phone. You're talking to the camera on your phone, and then compress it on your phone, and then send it across. Then you sort of can ultimately win. So it's sort of like making multiple mistakes massively, and then fixing up little mistakes there. So the Einstein to Haas, in really simplistic terms, is a window for everyone into the quantum universe. It begs the question of spin. It raises the question of spin to the person who can artfully put it forward. And this is the, just digressing a little bit, I'm going to have to stop in a while, as I drop in on a friend. This is a slightly different policy from reducing everything you do so you can't make mistakes. So I've just been in the Science Museum, and they're really not communicating science at all, because they can't. They've got enough people stopping them before they ever do anything, so they don't do anything wrong, fix what the wrong bits up, even though that act of fixing up the wrong bits is the critical thing. So the existence is, I mean, the spin, the conversation about spin is what is spin, but there's a cultural argument about spin, that so this is our universe. Our universe is composed of a superposition of two S2 symmetries, one on top of the other. So we've got a double universe. So look, there's interest about that, but it's also interesting how, oh my God, Father, they're making a huge house opposite. Okay, so they're just building a house on the corner block up here. It's just, oh, I don't know. Glenbrook's still got a lot of charm to it. Okay, I'm about to come up to my friend's house, and I'll probably, well, A, I may not meet him, but B, it may be that, oh yeah, sorry, we'll, I'll try and pick up on this again. It's just that there's a spin universe, but we're unaware of two aspects. One is our social universe, the other one is our, okay, you're in luck because he's not here and he's got a fantastic house. The only thing I think is he's got sort of astroturf in one area which the grass would never grow, but it's sort of a fantastic house. He's got a garage made out of convict bricks and stained glass windows, artwork. It's a real, real nice chap. Great to speak. He's a blood pathologist, retired. Has had a quadruple bypass. So I'll just tell you his story very quickly. Quadruple bypass. And he's gone up because he had some sort of genetic disease, which meant that he couldn't metabolize in old age cholesterol. Okay, this is, I'm sure that if you listen to it, you say, no, that's sort of right. So it turned out that they got the blood from a woman in Argentina who had the same but different disease, and by working out a cure for her. It's so depressing to see some of the stuff which is coming along here. Yeah, by doing it, they found out the cure, bespoke cure for him, and he's still kicking around. So this is, I think people have got the excitement up of these great cures coming around the corner in 10 years' time. When they actually do come, so I've got a friend who's got, wife's got cancer, and she's been going for a good 15 years now. Every 5 years, or 7 years-ish, the cancer drugs stop working, but then there's a new breakthrough for her. And so she would have been gone, and I would have been gone. So I've got a, so he's got this bespoke, medicine. And the issue is that it's, both him and I, it's the same issue. The disease is a physical disease, but also there's a sort of social pressure disease to try and work out. Ultimately, people effectively want you to shut up or and be really socially dead. You know, you survive now, but you've almost got to fight to get back into social life. It's a double dose of disease. So some of us having friends like that, you can chat and they know exactly what's going on, or say with the RSL, Return Soldiers League, the people with strokes, yeah, so, but chatting to their relatives, they pick up and they say, oh, yeah, he doesn't say he's tired, but he is always tired. He doesn't say this, but that's right. We have to do it. And that sort of community growth outside the operating theatre, which has to go. It sort of makes sense that, say if you went to Papua New Guinea and you suddenly cured everyone and they suddenly didn't have disease whatsoever, there'd be a whole heap of other social problems because the disease and society have gone together. And this is sort of a little bit similar in terms of that there is this there's a spin stuff in that our culture and what we can understand equilibrate. And so if you don't understand something, that annoyance of not understanding it gets attenuated by cultural things. So spin is something that people don't understand, or they really don't understand. That is, if I have a coffee cup spin up, and I have another coffee cup spin down, and I'm putting them in the case, my suitcase to carry them, I can actually put one coffee cup through the other one. And when I want to use both, I can pull them apart. Because they don't, the universe is separate. And this is what happens with electrons. This is the basis of chemistry. This thing's ability for a bulk object to slide through and into another bulk object is very at the heart of chemistry. Yeah, the issue is, the reason is it doesn't cause people a problem with this because they can't see it, it's ignored. It's sort of like, I mean, dare say I've been just about this artwork. If you are in Germany, at the heart of Nazism, it is harder to reason that there's a problem with what the Nazis are doing. It just is harder to go from point A to point B. You can, after you do understand it, you can not see it. There's a brief story, I have to say, about this German village which wasn't bombed. They had a little Burgermeister's Heist house, you know, and they had this bookcase, and someone spotted something wrong with it or something like that, and eventually, so many years after, the 1970s, 80s, whatever it is, good 35 years after the war, they said, German, I'm going to actually German, move the German case from this part of Germany to 2 meters over there. When they did it, this is what an apocryphal story. I think a story which has been developed into a story, okay? So they came across a door. Ha! German, schnell, whatever they say. Yeah, or 999. Opened the door. And inside it, filing cases full of secret files. Now, the secret files were depositions by the good members of the community against other members of the community. And like, this is crazy. Like, nowadays, what would be the act of writing a suspicion down? It's just, but in that world, it was that world. And then they said, oh, well. And with the reporters, they knocked on the door. You know, you had the whole backstory and the video of this person saying, yeah, whatever they say, German. And they have no recollection of it whatsoever. Not that they're making it up, because people get a chance to make things up if you ask them. So police are supposed to have to caution it, or when they're asking, they can ask side questions. So they might be listening for the information, but they're listening for, can you recall the detail? Or something more complex, or is this good for evidence? Like, so they will ask you a series of questions to see whether you are a reliable source or whatever it is. So the questions may not necessarily be with the subject. So there's a whole skill involved there. And the way this is done, it was very clear that this person had erased, wallpapered over their past. And so this is a fundamental problem in spin, in that people have erased the issue. There is no issue with spin. Agreed. You know, in terms of, it's almost like wanting to complain about a maggot crossing a plate at a restaurant. Now, in the days before social media, where you could photograph it and have it and do the ratings, you'd have a very well-built dishwasher who'd come out and say, "What seems to be the problem?" And you would humiliate people into not saying. Now, that being said, this is very much one aspect of the problems I'm coming up against, in terms of that there is this quantum physics I want to explain, yet it's not going to be explained. You understand? And you get, it's this pre Instagram world where interaction by interaction you pick up details. It's a bit like for me having this filing cabinet saying, oh, this is how the world actually works. Well, hang on, you've been lecturing in this for 30 years, how come you've not said anything about it? But don't say it like that. Why don't you say, oh, have you seen this? Do you need to know the implication of that? And that's really forming the picture of what I'm against. So I've got my own technical problems, like internet connectivity, brain connectivity, and then social connectivity problems. The actual physics of it is pretty standard still. It's from 1930s. For the moment, Dirac broke the equation to a natural force symmetry. You got spin antimatter, the world had changed. So our edge of understanding has changed. The bubble, within that bubble, we occupy a small region of it. And there will be natural forces to diffuse forward to understanding it. And then, ergo, there must be a other force stopping it. So if you can imagine a plank of wood falling down under the force of gravity, it will go. If it doesn't, if it hovers above the ground, we would infer that there's some other force. My inference is that there is some other social force holding it back. And one has to not The objective is not to explain. That is, you're in a prison, and if you run full at the boar, at the door, there'll be an equal and opposite reaction. But if you can chip away and slowly get across, so I'm sort of dealing with these sort of large problem areas. One is the technical, the neurological, that is, you write notes out, and then you look at the summary and you've got no idea who wrote it. It sounds very good. What? And then there's bits and you go, curse it. I wish I'd written it better because I cannot remember what's going on. That's a reduced set, but sort of if you're in your, you've got your, neurological eyes on, you really focus on it. And, then to the outside world, someone, working in advanced mathematics looks for all the world like a demented person because they cannot understand it. It is gibbledygook to them. And so you have to, it's not like some comic stuff where you've got some sort of truth drug. And I think of Johnny English and Johnny English 1. Where he injects himself with a truth drug, a drug, and actually can't get the words out, yet the audience knows what's going on. But unfortunately, in this case, the combination of a brain hit. So now the thing is that it's like you're taken out. And your kitty trashes the family car. It's all beaten up. It's in the driveway. Now, what happens is that it's beaten up and it's in the driveway. It's broken up and that's it. But what actually happens is that that car has got, the only way that car can repair itself. Now, it does repair itself a little bit, but people are left assuming that you can't open the door. Assuming you can't, and some of the times you can't do it, but the functionality is coming back. So there's this complexity of these three areas of problems, and people are socialized not to see problems. If they don't see problems, they're happy. They can buy quickly, and if you rather look at the pace of our society is based on, like, we're selling and developing quicker, setting concrete, faster internet. But what are people doing? They're actually being a little bit dumber. But the idea is that if you've got two groups of customers, one with a lot of money, quick decision, one with less money, because they've think you will degrade them, push them aside. The entire act of capitalism is to honour the good and honour the consumer of the good. And the analysis of the good is, thank you for your comment. I'll take that as a comment. The thing is actually really structured to make things really complex for people. It's structured to dumb down in terms of we have done extremely well. We have domesticated plants, but they suffer from diseases, and we really, eventually the domesticated plant determines what we can do. We've domesticated animals, but although it's good in the short term, we're suffering from extinction of beef cattle. I don't say this lightly. The genetic diversity of what we put on our plate is so small because in that the profit margins are so small and the risks so high that if you have, say, some beef, it's so complex here. The cost, the true cost of lack of diversity is not in front of us, because diversity is an upfront cost for long-term investment. So we're really not investing in diversity or in intellectual depth. And I would definitely say it from going around the museums and listening to people and chatting with people, the sense, if you had to grab on to intellectual depth, it's something which is fast slipping from our hands. And I don't know, the mirror for in terms of media interviewing things is that they will only cover areas for which there is no real the decision of thinking. It only, they cover media in such a way which only reinforces, never challenges. Because if it challenges, people cope with challenges nowadays by switching channels. So this means that people are hearing what they want to hear, and what they want to hear is that the universe is not a complicated place. If you don't understand it, the person who does is probably an idiot. Don't feel bad about not understanding something, because people who do just have no sex appeal whatsoever. And it's so easy. I think where the ethics tends to step out of its boundary is that when it's not quite working the way that they want, they behind the scenes club the person. And so the person who does understand it is often recalling from being clubbed here and there. And it's only truth because there's the reason that they decide to club someone who understands something is that although that person is not challenging it, they are breaking the stage continuity of what's going through. So I'm just trying to think. It's like you're trying to sell. Well, I would definitely say this is true of teachers. They sort of stand outside a property and try and sell it as if they've owned it and always lived there. Yet they don't have keys to go in or anything to do it. All I can do is stand out the front and tell stories. Now, so it's like this person trying to fake sell you a house. They're trying to convince you there. And if someone comes up and starts asking really tough questions which they can't answer, a homeowner would say, good point, I'll go inside and check my plumbing, or here's the papers which show it's wired this way. Oh, that's a point. I don't have that stairway. It's not going to take very many. There's that critical way of doing it. But if you're the shonksters, you'd say, that person who's asking those questions is an idiot, the way it's addressed. Look at this. Look, he seems to be recoiling from people clubbing him in the back of the head all the time. So that's really the structure of problems coming up. So the technical stuff, like, and I have no one sort of looking after me technically. I just have to make a broad range of errors. If I can say, error signals are fantastic. So I'm making errors in podcasting, errors in video stuff, and from the errors, I'm being feedback and maps out. So error management is a key aspect of optimization. So your hands picking something up, looking at it, if you fed that stuff, raw signal stuff, into a robot with a simple control, it would shake the bejesus out of everything. But we use error signals in the pressure that you mount. So you will press something a little bit too hard, it'll come it back, and so you can actually feel through your error signals a whole lot of other secondary information that you can pick up. And so people have this make-believe view of actually producing something. Oh, this is certainly putting the pressure on me, mate. So I've got this big weight. Yeah, the idea is that they do something and it produces... The idea is you do something that's perfect and doesn't produce an error. Which is okay. And that's great. But if you do have something which produces an error, that error can be a psychological liability for you. You can be worried about it. Or you can say, well, I'm learning about the space from an error. And it means that an error is sort of like a scanning parameters, and you can sequence forward. And so I can very much remember sort of the deep, darkest thoughts. So when my brain was reset completely, completely blank, just the operating system and these areas which could compute but just weren't working. And I was trying to think, what's going on? And I had this feeling that this post is picking up. There's these anonymous grey boxes that no one sees. And what happens is, because it's so dispersed, they have these grey boxes. They've got no markings on them whatsoever. Not grey, they're sort of Russian colour. And the post, there's not much fuss. They come in, deposit the stuff there, and then they beehive back to these substations. Here's going off. Okay, so so if you send a signal out and you get a signal back, you can actually, that's like an ultrasonic, you're perturbing the system in not a positive way, unless you're getting a negative way, and develop two things. One is that you can develop a picture of your system that you're probing, or you can select calibration signals to go back into you, and you can develop a model of your entire system. Now, if in budget land, it's expensive to take real world measurements, you can run this again and again and again, and slowly develop understandings and technologies. So, say with podcasting, I've developed basically a set forget podcast engine. But at this stage, I'm also developing strategies, like the strategy of the Iron Santa House. I don't know enough. Go up and build it. Solve the fundamental problems which are stopping out. Now, communicate out. It's from a difference. It's not a complex step to go, but you can plan for a very small signal to take. And this is one of the things I suppose I could say in laser physics die. In this case, it's very similar. I don't know how to get my gain medium oscillating. And it's going to be a complete sweaty wreck by the time I go into this blood thing because I'm carrying all this weight. Yeah, so when you're looking at a dye laser, there's this real subtle change in colour. So the blue goes from a slightly aqua to a more intense blue when it begins to laser, and your eyes can pick it up really, really quickly. So you scan across uniformly. Note where it picks up, and you go back. And it's getting the best information from one feedback and sequentially building it into the other. So often, if you pick the wrong way, you form into a lock. Now, so you can hunt a reflection. So this is why when you scan all the way through. It's the customer's money, but it's going through, scan all the way through. Because you can pick up and you can put on a major thing, whereas there could be a bigger feed, or the system may be dying or warming up. So you can have a strong signal later on. If you go back, you may get an even stronger signal as it's warmed and aligned. This is, people may question this, but this is all absolutely true for tuning dye lasers. So I'm sure, I really wonder if there's any such thing as a dye laser anymore. But similarly here, the Einstein de Haas required scanning through, building the device. Scan through. Oh, there's an issue that people are taught complete rubbish. Scan through. There's a cultural issue. People after a while, if something's very hard to understand, they culturally discount its significance. Sort of like women's rights, women in general. Women are complex, and we've managed their complexity by discounting and belittling it. So, really, there's many similarities to it. As you're looking at the cultural system now, little by little you get in. I went into the science museum and found the person, actual person designing and implementing the exhibits, had no in-depth understanding of science, and like, they didn't know what a muon was. They had only a most superficial understanding, and their ability to expand or experiment or develop things is extremely limited. But what they do is people tend to go two ways. Ideally would be construct new understandings or construct, I think the opposite of understanding is an ignorance. So your naked ignorance makes you compels you to understanding. So if I see something I don't understand, you could take actions to understand it. Or if I see something I don't understand, you can be taken to not understand it, but you can then take steps to degrade people who do understand it, degrade the importance of understanding it, and discredit the significance of you not understanding it. So this is a really complex and actually potentially toxic outcome, and you've got this sheer complexity that don't you speak advanced science or quantum physics, people can easily sit back and say, look, you see, he's completely mad. And the reason they do it is they're not doing it to attack you. They're doing it to protect themselves. They want to have a simple life, work very hard to go on holiday and see things that they would like to do if they work even harder. I think might be the case going forward. Now, one of the things I'm going to do is, this is a data point in podcasts. Now, what I'm going to do is think about this and see how I can improve it. I'm now going off to the blood test. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.